The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Angry girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's my brother made an advice show for the modern era. Our special Labor Day edition of our program.
You know what that means?
We didn't stop working. What's that?
It's Labor Day, baby. It's time to, you know, split those giants wide open and get some babies out of them.
Let's induce this Labor Day.
That's what I'm saying.
Let's induce this Labor Day and give birth to a new day for our nation.
I don't think it is ethically... It's both ethically and morally dubious, Labor Day, because I don't think it's right to induce the labor just so mm-hmm. that you can, like, participate in the holiday. I don't think it's right to plan your conception 9 months ahead of time, which would be, that's like, what, early December or something like that? Who the fuck wants to have sex in early December? Not this guy.
Well, you do it and you stay warm and you don't die in the cold.
True love waits until February.
You have all those necessity babies.
Yeah, sure.
You have your baby on Labor Day and your first words to your baby are, get it? That baby's mm-hmm. going to grow up with a really, really, really great sense of humor.
Well, the problem really is if you have really a baby on Labor Day, it's instantly in a union.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
True. And let me tell you, the baby union, their strikes are unscabbable. Can't be done.
You cannot scab a baby union. Everyone will know the difference.
How are you going to cross a baby picket line?
Yeah.
They're adorable.
Well, it's quite easy. I mean, they're fucking knee high. You can just, you know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You got to be careful. You'll trip right over them.
Yeah, it is a tripping hazard. And they can bite you. That's babies.
Mm-hmm. And their picket signs are incoherent.
Mm-hmm. They're nothing. They're just prints of their hands in paint. Like, it's not even making a really great statement.
Unless they're, like, hyper-religious or super politically active parents make them hold the signs. I hate that shit. That kid does not actually think that God hates fags. I know that as a fact. That kid, God loves pogs, is what that kid wants to hold up. God, give me more Pokemon cards, please. I pray every day for them and nothing. Dear God, Yu-Gi-Oh! Signed, David, the kid.
That's what happens.
Baby's like Yu-Gi-Oh!
You pray for Jesus to bring you Yu-Gi-Oh! Cards, and when he doesn't, you blame the homosexuals. And that's that's how Fred Phelps was born.
Okay. So there's is Fred the Phelps ultimate Yu-Gi-Oh! Generation. Master.
Right. No, he would be. He would be
if Jesus had brought
him some Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
Yeah.
Jesus won't bring him any Yugs, so he hates gays. That's canon at this point, I think.
I guess everything that we've said so far makes sense.
I bet when this episode started, that my brother, me historians weren't ready that they're gonna have to crack open the Hall of Fame vault to put the baby union bit in.
they'd have to protest babies, solid gold.
So soon after they just dipped in last week to put in what hilarious bit from last week did they put in? I forget.
Romney Coladas.
They dipped in to put in Romney Coladas. Now they're gonna have to trek right back to the Hall of Fame to put baby unions in.
Guys, let's spread it wide. Let's use our Kegels and let's not
belabor the day.
Let's push this 6 pound, 4 ounce. Is that small?
Yeah.
I feel like that's like normal. Baby. Let's just get this baby of humor out of us.
Let's just get this humor baby out.
The humor is crowning. Let's go.
Okay. Oh, God.
these jokes are 6 centimeters dilating.
I can see the top of its goofs.
Okay. Hall of Fame. I always have the... on this show, we answer questions, but usually we just make fun of people, but it's like a question show, and we'll answer some. Here we go. I always have the same problem when I'm at a party or out with friends. For whatever reason, I'm always introduced to new people just after I come out of the bathroom. My hands are still a little wet from washing, so now I'm stuck stepping out of a bathroom and immediately giving a damp handshake. It doesn't make for a good first impression. So what's the proper response to a handshake request when you have wet hands? That's washed in Wisconsin. Well washed.
There's so many options.
There's literally dozens, if not hundreds of options.
Can I help you with just like the top one? Just dry your fucking hands.
That's what your jeans are for.
That's why they have his and hers.
You know what? That's a new good adult rule. Don't go to parties unless they have fucking guest towels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if they don't have a guest towel, you need to depart. You need to walk out of the bathroom with your hands aloft and say, I am leaving to go home to dry my hands.
I can't meet your new girlfriend right now. My hands are damp because this party is bullshit.
Why are you shaking anybody's hand?
That's a great question.
Germ factory.
Mm-hmm. You got to give them elbow bumps, which is the new thing.
Yeah.
I'll do that at a trade show where I don't want to. Hi, I've never met you. You're from a different country. Let's just elbow bump because I don't know. I don't want contagion happening to me.
Sometimes, though, people will get overzealous with the bump and they'll want to prove to you that they've got some juice in the tube.
Oh, that's the worst.
And it'll turn into a forearm shiver.
Oh my god,
and that's brutal.
Yeah, because your forearm is just like it's just a big petri dish.
Mine is brittle.
Yeah,
your elbow.
It's practically avian, and when people give me a big bash, it's like
ugh,
it really hurts.
What I do in this situation, whenever I have not washed or not dried my hands properly, like
okay, so a little bit of Freudian truth in there, but go on.
When I have not dried my hands, I just come out and someone tries to introduce me, and I say, "We're not going to shake. We're going to hug." And then I just hug them, and then I wipe my hands on their back.
Well, that's a good point because isn't your whole body a little damp?
Excuse me.
Like when you wash it, you guys just get your hands, huh?
So you're saying like when you're at a party and you use the bathroom, you take a shower?
You take a quick shower.
I mean, I use the sink. It's not like a full production, but every part of me...
Oh, you take a hobo bath.
Every part of me does... Yeah, I take a library bath. Every part of me does get wet.
Sure.
Let's break this down, because we've talked about, I think, probably the politics of hand washing 20 times, but you're not actually touching, like, your butthole or your poopy... or your pee-pee, or your wee, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's paper there. So it's all in your head anyway. So, like, I guess it's just that you're getting, like, poop particles from the air up on your hands. And if that's the case, then your whole body is contaminated.
That's a fair point. We're all contaminated. Honestly, your immune system could do well to get some...
So, hold on. I'm sorry, Justin, but Griffin, are you saying... that you don't believe hand washing in any way helps?
I'm saying you go to a different country, throw a whole dartboard at a map.
Dartboard at the wall.
Okay, and then get a dart,
and then leave their house because you will be asked to leave their house.
Throw a dart at a
flip
map.
Flip a pool table.
And chances are, whatever country it lands in, they don't even bother. It's just not a cultural thing for them.
And so you're saying that any other country other than America not only doesn't wash their hands, but is far healthier than
America?
There's a few.
Greenland washes. Australia. West Australia washes. East Australia, they don't give a fuck.
But they wash their hands backwards. Yeah. The water flows upwards.
Mm-hmm. Griffin goes to two countries and suddenly he's seeing everything from a global perspective.
I'm just saying you have to, everything is connected, you guys. The world is getting smaller. So
are you a citizen of the world yet?
I am a citizen of the Northern Hemisphere. I'm still working on getting my credentials for the Southern Hemisphere. But really, what do they have for us down there?
It's the party hemisphere.
Yeah.
I think we already got all the gold.
Yeah,
that's all they had.
We got all the gold out of there. So
thanks, Cortez.
You're the best. I don't know. Just,
what if you just, like, as you were shaking their hand, you just leaned in and said, it's not pee, don't worry.
You have to say that. That you're joking, but you do.
My hands are nothing.
If your hands are wet, if their hand, when they pull it away, is wet from your wetness, guess what? You got to bring it up.
Or you just assert your dominance in the situation. I mean, that is a power move.
Yeah, that's my hand.
It may or may not be pee.
You may or may not have my pee on there. Mm-hmm.
I'll be able to find that hand later because I marked it.
No one else better touch that hand.
Somebody give me a UV light. Mm-hmm. That's mine. I don't want to talk about this anymore.
I'm just saying, possibly, as soon as you show up to the party, as soon as you feel that you have to go to the bathroom, look around the room in like a panic state, like, oh, fuck, I've got to meet everybody real quick.
Ooh. Assuming you're at a private party, mm-hmm. like, why are you even washing your hands in a private bathroom? The only reason to wash your hands is because somebody walks in there who looks kind of judgy, mm-hmm. or you know them.
Yeah. Or you just got to turn the water on for like 10 seconds. You don't have to, don't even bother getting it wet. That's a good thing. Just leave, turn the water on. Somebody will hear you outside.
Count, be like, count oh,
four. He's a good washer boy. And then you, then you walk out and they think you're a good washer boy. And they say, hey, you sound like a great washer. My name is Dinius. My name is Dinius. And then you shake his hand. He said, oh, you're a good dryer boy too. Cause it is bone dry down there.
So dry.
You say, yeah, I've really got pretty much every concept mastered. It's nice to meet you.
Listen, this may seem forward, but my name is Dinius Gulper, and I'm the head of the Washing Hands Institute, and I want to bring you in as the greatest ever. I think you could be my champion.
But then suddenly you're living a lie, yeah. and they're like, please tell us how you got so bone dry mm-hmm. and so clean. Yeah, and you're right. Like,
They try to do a study, because it's like impossible. He promises he washed his hands.
Yeah.
I don't see how he got them.
Why would he lie to me?
A lot of people tell you to sing Row, Row, Row Your Boat to keep track. That's a lie. You got to do, I do the chorus from Hold On. Mm-hmm. Just one go of the chorus from Hold On by Wilson Pickett. Who is it?
And what's Wilson Phillips?
I think it's Dinius Phillips.
And what people never tell you is when you do it to a certain song, you have to sing at the top of your lungs mm-hmm. so that everyone outside knows that you're doing it for the right amount of time.
It's good. It's good at a party to just be like, or here's how about Awake, just like total silence and condolence and crying, and then someday somebody's gonna tell you to go around and wash your hands, get the germs off there.
Oh, someone's a good washer boy. Mm-hmm.
Hey, if you guys were to guess, mm-hmm. what percentage wise, if 100% is all.
Yeah, that's typically how it works.
Seems mathematically correct.
Seems mathematically sound so far. What percent feasible. Would you say wash their hands when somebody enters a room and is in there with them versus wash their hands when they're alone?
100%.
There's a lot of politics that we're going over again here. Like if it's a bathroom with stalls, and then you're in the stall and someone else comes in and sits in the stall next to you but doesn't see your face, you're free to walk out.
Okay. I'm talking percentages, though. Do you think no one is doing it for their own edification? Like, are you guys suggesting that if you are by yourself, no one is washing their hands in the bathroom?
I don't know. Since I have tightened up my hand washing habits, I have found myself getting sick less, which I think there's some science to that, probably.
Yeah. And what I do every time I go to the bathroom, I wash my hands and then brush my teeth.
Mm.
And then comb my hair every time, three times.
Travis is an 80-year-old man.
Mm-hmm. And then I hand the towel back to the attendant and I say, hey, thank you so much. And I give him a dollar.
Speaking of the attendant, I wanted to talk about bathroom attendants for a second.
Okay.
As far as I know, they're only in airports. Maybe
not,
in strip clubs
not
I've
true.
Seen twice. And I don't understand why they are in the airport. And I don't understand why I see shoe shiners in the airport and only there. So this is my
because
question.
We have to have jobs for our poetry majors.
That is very funny, but it doesn't answer my question. Is the airport... Is there another rich person world that is going on in parallel to ours that we only have access to at the airport because, I mean, that's why, like,
so Brookstone. Are you asking, like, is the airport a great equalizer where you get a peek into?
Is that the only place where our two sort of realities cross over? And that, because just the logistics of building a rich person airport is just beyond the pale.
Sure.
It is the only place where you see sort of what's going, like $40 for headphones at Brookstone.
Sure.
Chili's to go.
I've got an alternate theory, and it is from my time in my recent time in Germany, every single restaurant, every single one, every single place we went to, their bathroom had an attendant. And they sat outside between the men and women's room and would offer you
I would like that
toiletries or anything that you wanted. So my theory is they're all German immigrants who came to America with stars in their eyes. And then they just kind of got to the airport and they're like, ah, fuck it. This is fine.
This is fine.
I've always wanted to, like, when I was at a restaurant, because I've been to several restaurants that had a bathroom. I know. Oh. Count it. And I've been to several restaurants. I was hoping
you were going to stop there.
And every time I've seen an attendant, I've always wanted to walk up to, like, you know, the maitre d' or the host or somebody and be like, hey, a bathroom attendant was really nice, and have them go, bathroom attendant?
Yeah.
What do you... Oh, no.
We had a bathroom attendant, but he's been dead for 15 years.
Ghost poop face.
Okay. Well, that's the end of the bit.
Can you edit that part out?
No, I can't.
I was hoping something funnier would come after face.
Okay, I'm gonna instead of that. I'm gonna remember to do that, but there might be a dog outside or something while I'm editing, so it's okay. Don't worry about it. You want a Yahoo?
Give me a Yahoo.
Would that feel better?
Ghost peeper?
Nope.
That's what I was hoping I would say.
Yeah. Nope. It's not much better.
Here's what I was hoping to come out.
Let's just go. This one was sent in by
Slimer. That's how Slimer was born.
Thank you. This Maybe. One was sent in by Krista Whalen. Thank you, Krista. It's by Yahoo Answers user Kevin, who asks, if your celebrity crush says he or she will go out with you, if you eat just a little bit of his or her poop, would you do it?
Oh, God. Yes.
No. Can you reread the question?
If your celebrity crush says he or she will go out with you, if...
Stop right there. Okay. Go out with you? Listen, if you're talking about an ongoing relationship with my celebrity crush, this isn't just a one-off situation, okay? Anybody who begins the tenor of the relationship with, just eat a little bit of my poop.
So how did you guys meet? Well, funny story. Well,
it's a what terrible... If that's, what if that's how I met your mother ends?
The final, the series, the last shot of the show is the two kids on the couch horrified.
Yeah, the series finale. The episode is 30 seconds long, and Bob Saget's like, "All right, here it comes. Are you ready?" It's Penelope Cruz, and she said, "How you feel about scat?" And I said, "Not great." And she said, "Well, tough." And then I ate just a little bit. The end.
And the camera pans around, and Bob Saget is wearing a ball gag and he's in chains.
Any other questions? Now get out of here. So your mom can poop on me.
Oh, man.
And that is the story. Now your mom says her little whore has done enough storytelling. It's time to get upstairs and do my whore job. Like a good little slut that I am, the dad from How I Met Your Mother. I have to go.
Oh, God. Oh, shit, that'd be great. Those kids would be so angry. Like, we've been sitting here for 7 years.
And that's how it ends? The end of it is you eating.
And he just looks at
it
and goes, the aristocrats.
Yeah.
Really? What if... So you think it might be a celebrity mother? You think
that's how I met your mother, Gina Davis,
known archer and scat enthusiast and star of Cutthroat Island, Gina Davis. Earth girls may be easy, but Earth boys will eat your poopy. It's science.
I also feel like just reveal too much and letting people know that my celebrity crush is Gina Davis.
Well,
now Gina Davis or Earth Girls are Easy Era? Yeah,
Commander in Chief.
Earth
Girls, Gina,
1988, circa Gina Davis.
Sure,
but also circa 1988, Andy McDowell. So,
oh my God, yes,
I got some weird standards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
It includes time travel,
I guess.
And being eight.
I don't want to talk about it.
There isn't. We're not equipped to. We're all in very happy relationships.
I feel like if this question was to hang out with a celebrity, you think you'd be best friends with? That's what I'm saying.
Would you eat a little bit of Alton Brown's poopy just to like?
Well, hang yes. Out with him. Have you seen how well he eats?
Yeah, he would prepare it.
I think way healthy.
Yeah, I'm saying like if you said like eat a little bit of David Tennant's poop. All mm-hmm. over it.
Yeah,
can
sure.
we not have this conversation?
Travis would probably eat a little
all.
Bit of David Tennant's poop, even if it meant just not hanging.
Just if it like just showed up in a FedEx box.
Even if I just ran into a dude on the street in London who said, hey, you want a bit of David Tennant's poop? I would ask the price.
Can this not happen?
Let me just
this
ask. Listen, I know you want to get off the subject, but I have like 75 more questions. Do you think there are people out there, and I don't fancy myself a celebrity, but do you think there are people out there who would eat a little bit of our poop just to hang out with us?
Yeah.
I really hope not. Like, I super, super, super hope not.
Okay, well, let me rephrase. I bet there are people out there that would just eat our poop. I don't think
it's We're not tenant level, but I think we have a little bit.
No. I'm saying just because I think there are people out there that like to eat poop.
Oh, sure, sure.
Okay.
Guys, everything that's happening right now is the worst thing that's ever happened to me.
Okay.
Justin, there's not a single celebrity whose poop you would eat to hang out with them?
There's not a single person who's...
Antonio Banderas.
Okay. You got me. Shit. No, I had to cut to the core of me. Travis.
Let's talk about
something like humans talk about.
I need to take a big gulp of water and just...
Ugh.
That's not a big gulp.
I hate this stupid podcast. I just moved into an apartment for the new semester of my college year. While my room looks good, I have an issue. There is nothing on my walls. I thought this wouldn't be an issue, but staring at the void of nothing surrounding me is starting to make me edgy. So what should I put up there? That's from Good Idealists in Georgia. You came to My Brother and Me live show, you could buy a hit poster to put up there.
Yeah.
How about a poster featuring Antonio Banderas?
Yeah.
Well.
Star of stage and screen.
Concert posters are good. Did we really just make the jump from scat cooking to interior design?
Whoa. We never said it was cooked poop.
Sorry. Concert posters, anything that you can have a story for, those are always fun.
You know what I've always wanted to do?
What's that, Travis?
And I don't know, like, it would depend on...
Can I guess eat Gina Davis's poop?
No, I haven't always wanted to do that. Not until I saw Earth Girls Are Easy. No, like, to have a bare wall, and it would depend on your lease, but to, like, draw or paint, like, your own mural or something, probably have to paint over it.
Sure, that's going to look real good.
I mean, if you're artsy in any way.
No, I know. I'm saying I've seen your watercolors.
If you got I can actually draw and paint very well, Griffin.
I know, I'm saying I've seen your watercolors.
Because it sounds insincere. You're not coming across
as a sincere person. Can I try again? Oh, I've seen your watercolor. No, fuck.
Not helping. No, that's going the wrong way.
I've seen your watercolor. Nah, that's
better.
Okay.
Well, it's like Michael Maney. Do you remember his bedroom when he was a kid? And it was just like on the wall. His parents would let him just like draw.
Illustrator of the My Brother and Me comic book origin story. Yes. Now, the difference is that he is very good.
Yeah, but he was 8 at the time. Like, I'm saying if mom and dad let me draw on the wall when I was 8, maybe I would be a very talented illustrator.
If mom and dad had let me drive a car at 8 years old, I would be a NASCAR driver right now.
I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Is that the way it works?
That is basically it, yeah. 8 is basically the cutoff for any career aspiration.
Mm-hmm. Just like Travis stopped aspiring to make love to women at the age of 5.
Yeah.
Apparently. It's frozen in time. Yeah, guys. Frozen in sexual amber.
After I met my 5-year-old girlfriend, Sexual Amber.
Yeah. I'm bad about that. I don't think in my apartment in Chicago, my walls are completely bare in my bedroom, and it was depressing. It was like sleeping in a jail cell. So you gotta have something.
But don't go like posters, just like taped up bare. Like,
what do you guys? No, let's just do it.
If you don't put your fucking posters in a frame, hang up this podcast. I don't want to. You don't deserve to hear the words from our mouths because you're a caveman. I'm just going to use sticky tack. Oh, that's going to look really great on the walls. Oh, and the poster will be real bumpy afterwards. Good.
I love it.
And probably rip. Oh, be so
What do you guys have hanging right now? What's surrounding you right now?
Right now?
I have...
In
the room you're in. I'm going to start with Travis.
Okay great. I'm sitting in my living room. I've got lots of pictures of friends and family on the walls.
Why are you in the living room?
Because this is where I record, man. It's where I live.
Okay. Sorry, go ahead.
And I've got a painting that Teresa's sister did that's lovely. A welcome sign from our old house and some shelves with candles on them. Shelves is a fucking great way to go. Get like standalone shelves. You put all kinds of shit on there.
Man, what can't you put on a shelf?
You can put anything on a shelf.
That is our new My Brother and Me. Shelves is fucking great. Travis McElroy. These shelves am nice.
When we put our shelves up, it changed the way our house looks.
Knives, shot glasses, butter dishes.
Little skulls with candles on them. Mm-hmm. You know, staple just whatever. Boxes,
masking tape,
dead animals. Tar picks.
Everything goes up there.
I've got a little, I've got my Harvey Danger poster from the concert we went to in Chicago, their next to last performance. I've got a Life Well Wasted poster. And I've got one of those little height meters to show how much I've grown.
That's my special boy.
A lot of people think it's weird to do that to yourself. For yourself, when you move to a new apartment every single year since you were since you were 19 years old. But I want to know just how my bones are doing, how my skeleton's doing. You know.
Okay, so you're keeping track of how much you're shrinking year to year.
No, it's pretty much plateaued.
Right.
So it's really just one line that I keep drawing over and over again. I should mention, in different apartments every single year. That part's important. Right now, I have no metric to measure it against, I guess. Uh-huh. It's just nice for people to know, because maybe I'm getting robbed and they start in my office, which is where it is. And then they go into the office and say, oh shit, this guy's 5'10". Let's get the fuck out of here. You know?
You know what you should do?
What's that?
Take it one step further.
Okay.
And have somebody outline you on the wall.
Oh, that's fun.
And then just keep outlining you to see if you're getting fatter.
The last person who owned my home measured their daughter's height on the inside of my kitchen cupboard.
Mm.
And I discovered that. And it was this.
Why
really...
did they keep their daughter in the cupboard?
No.
It was just written on there.
Oh.
Yeah. Hey, so in my room, there's a...
This is going to take a half hour.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about this anymore. It's boring.
Yeah.
I recently started a new job, and I got a problem. My manager burps constantly, never excuses himself. He mentioned once that he burps when he is hungry. But that would mean he's hungry all the time. The other day, your boss is Yogi Bear. The other day, I think he burped in front of a customer and didn't say anything. Also, these are not little burps. Should I say something to him? If so, what should I say? Is this just a guy thing that girls just have to deal with? I was bullied by a burper in elementary school, so maybe I'm more sensitive to burps. Please help me out. Grossed out in Greenwich, who works for Travis.
Pretty sure it's Greenwich.
No. Ooh. Greenwich. I don't know why I said Greenwich. I'm so sorry. You edited that, so I
sorry. Okay. Oh, a dog!
A, burps are completely natural.
Travis B, burps.
This gentleman needs to learn to excuse himself.
Travis burps.
Did you say egg burps are natural?
Because I'm here to tell you, egg burps are the pits. And they are the most unnatural thing.
I said the letter A.
Okay. It sounded like egg. Burps. So are you hungry right now? Is that a burp?
I actually am very hungry. I have not eaten all day.
Okay.
The first time God smelled an egg burp, he was like, I did not make that.
That one's on
I blew it.
This is not of my creation.
That one's on Satan. That was actually, a Satan burp.
I have not eaten in the last 3 days to avoid burping. I'm trying to cut back.
I appreciate that. Travis lonely. Burps a lot. Travis has the dyspepsia.
I have a disease.
You have a disease.
He tries to blame it on a disease, but it's really just rude. I don't know what...
How is it rude?
Disease doesn't make you open your fucking mouth when you burp like you do.
If I don't burp, I'll vomit.
The
disease doesn't make you go to the trophy store and buy one every time.
I'm just saying, I had one once that was like 3 minutes long and sounded like a demon was coming out of me, and it was epic.
That's fine.
How does the disease prevent you from covering your goddamn mouth?
Or not buying a t-shirt.
Because I'm not a child. I'll burp when I want to in my own goddamn house.
But you're not in your house.
I'll burp in your house. I'll burp in anyone's house. I would not, could not in a house.
One time I actually heard Travis burp out the words Cincinnati King of Burps. Which...
To be fair, that was during a job interview, and I knew. Now I'm this person's boss.
I am.
So I'm climbing up the ladder.
I'm afraid I might have it. This past year I've been burping a lot, and it's really not from a place of pride like Travis. I'm deeply ashamed every time I do it, and I live with my girlfriend now, so she has to like. I always try to be dainty about it.
So that's a sin trying to come out.
I try to be dainty, probably. I try to be dainty about it, but it's. there's just nothing doing, and I always feel this need to just apologize profusely every time
you
it happens.
You should just hide it behind a lace fan. You know, put your gloved hand to the back of your hand to your mouth.
Right.
And hide it, because apparently you're a Victorian.
And then
person. I just burp like an American.
I faint every time too, which is nice.
That's the vapors.
No, it's horrible. It's disgusting. You're farting with your mouth, and like you wouldn't.
In all seriousness, you should not. Like, this dude is wrong. Burping at a professional workplace in front of customers as your boss, like. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. I celebrate my burps at home with friends where it's safe.
It's not, but go on.
But I'm saying, I think that you're perfectly in the right to the next time he does it, be like, hey, Chet, cut it out.
You realize that, that's like, gross. When I'm like staying over at your house on a trip or something like that, and you burp, the first thing I don't think is, oh, this is a really safe environment for me to be in.
You don't think, well, I'm a guest in his house.
So no, I think, are you fucking right kidding me?
I'm holding a burp right now, you guys, because I love you and I love our listeners.
When I know Griffin's coming to my house, I turn on a nice scentsy.
Mm-hmm.
I'll maybe select a scent cake to put in, something I know he'll enjoy. When Griffin goes to Travis's house, Travis burps in his face and shouts, dominance!
Yeah.
Listen, I will not be bullied.
Yeah.
All right? Burpers unite. Stand up. I think it's an old-fashioned... You might as well be telling me about how you're going to get a phosphate down the soda fountain with and then pin a girl and go steady.
Okay.
We're adults. It's 2012. Burp if you want to.
No.
It shouldn't be offensive.
You burp.
It's an archaic rule.
What are you talking about?
How does it upset anyone?
You burp so hard once my beer fell over.
How does it affect anyone other than being children and giggling at it because it's burping? Because
it smells like all the food you've eaten.
Burp proud.
It's
burp okay, loud, burp proud.
How far do you extend this? Like, do you shit in your hands and throw it at people?
So no, gobble of course that up, not.
Gobble that up. Pretend I'm Gina Davis. Like, what are you?
No, because that has. I also don't burp in people's faces. I don't sneak up behind them while they're napping and burp in their ears. As so I can.
You would excuse
so that
yourself,
would be hilarious.
You would excuse yourself to the corner to defecate it, like some sort of beast. Is that what you're saying to me?
Listen. One step at a time.
Travis, some of us are trying to live in a society.
Right.
Over
here.
Yeah,
and I'm trying to make this society safer with people with my disease.
You're saying when you make it sound like you're throwing up invisible vomit, it's because it's for a fucking cause?
You're making a point?
Well, no. It's because I enjoy burping.
It's the okay. Travis is on the March of Grimes.
Oh man,
you are horrible. Eat better. Yeah. Just eat better. Just treat yourself better, food wise.
Hey, me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you know what's going to help you afford all the organic free range stuff that you need to keep your tummy gurgles under control?
What's that?
The Money Zone. I got this message. It's from...
Urgent message, sir.
Urgent message from across the wires from boyfriend Dan. This one's going out to Becky. He says, happy birthday, Becky.
Here's a slow jam for Becky.
Here's a slow jam for Becky. I'll make love to you by boys to men. See, you got me hooked on my bim bim from the first time we talked, so I figure there's no better way to wish you a happy birthday than a shout out from the McElroy brothers. The last 3 months have been the best ever. And yada, yada, yada. You get the idea.
Hey. He says, and here's to more ahead. Love you.
They're in love. You get it. You
blah, blah, blah. Gross.
Listen. Either you're in love and you feel intimidated, or you're not in love and you feel lonely. Nobody needs to.
How did we serve as the inception of a romance? How did that?
I don't want to know. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how you connect it to. You know, there's this great show where three real-ass brothers talking about eating celebrity defecation. Mm-hmm. Do you want to go out again, or what's up? Am I good?
To be fair, I want to make it clear that we're not talking about eating their poop recreationally.
I can't talk about it again. Okay. I'm sorry I keep bringing it up. It's like a scab that I can't pick at, but I can't eat. Thank you, Billy Crystal, for your scab. Scott Braggin. This is from Britty. This is the message. Travis, read it.
Sky's turning 26. He's an amazing drummer, but also incredibly multi-talented. He has mad art skills and is returning to school to get his BFA. He skydives on the weekends and is fourth Q in Aikido. But first and foremost, Scott is one of my closest friends and is very fun to be around. Lots of love.
Aw, well, that's nice. I'm glad you guys are pals and Scott.
I'm glad that Scott is doing Sky Aikido.
Mm-hmm. Scott kind of makes me feel a little self-conscious, honestly. There's doing a lot of...
He's doing he's too
got
much?
A lot. You got a lot going on, you know? I don't really enjoy that.
Scott, you should stop drumming.
Stop drumming and maybe with the martial arts. I want to feel better.
Just cut back. Go to, like, second cue.
Yeah.
There's one way for me and Scott to settle who is the best. By the way, it's Scott. And we're going to play Outlast. Now, here's Outlast. I... talk with Thomas, who built Outlast, and it is my new favorite idea for a iPhone game. So, you guys know Hands on a Hard Body? You know that idea where
go
it's
on.
A...
Go on.
Oh, yeah.
Do tell. Where a bunch of people put their hands on a truck or car. And then
the car drives off, and then...
The car drives off, and they're like, wait, my hand! No, the last person to leave their hand on with... So Outlast is a game like that. It splits your iPhone screen into a red half and a blue half. Both people put a finger or thumb on the screen on their half, and then the game starts. And the game is only who leaves their finger or thumb on the longest. If you try to jostle it, you both lose.
Now, so you I know could, like, do it and then, like, burp in their face.
Burp in their face, and they're like, oh, I got to get out of here. And if they leave it, take it off, they're loose. Now, here's where it gets really fantastic. If they... Before the game starts, each person logs into their Twitter account, if they have Twitter. Each person logs into their Twitter account and writes a tweet for the other person. And if that person loses, that tweet is instantly deployed with no...
Oh, shit.
Right. So Griffin logs into his Twitter account. I log into mine. And then I write something that Griffin will tweet if he loses.
Like, can't wait to eat Gina Davis's poop.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. If
spoiler alert, exactly. We're both writing that.
Yeah. So yeah, and you, or you can, you know, you can play for whatever stakes you want. But I think the idea of Twitter stakes are pretty fantastic. You can get it on the App Store to search for Outlast. It's 99 cents. But what I would also recommend is that you follow Can't Outlast on Twitter, because it retweets messages from people who lost the game. And hey, if you want, put MBMBAM in your penalty tweet so we can see that you punished somebody. And then we can celebrate, because what we like more than anything is people antagonizing in their name. Now,
and Griffin, also people crushing people.
Yeah, and really, really tearing them down. Whatever sort of artifice of pride or ego they've built up, just to really dismantle
just make
that
them as small as possible.
Now, Griffin, if you and Travis went up in this game, in Outlast, let's say you're buying it right now, sure. Who would win?
Between Travis,
to be clear, there's just one iPhone. Only one person needs this on their, and two people play it in person.
I've been kind of quiet while we talked about this, and it's actually because when Travis said I could burp in their face, then they have to quit. And I couldn't stop thinking about just how miserable an experience that would be. So I think he would have the psychological edge over me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, are you saying you maybe wouldn't even enter into this particular Thunderdome? Because for fear of...
I would do it. It's just a matter of pride, but I think I would have him physically because I can go longer without eating sewage. But Travis can turn that sewage into power, you know?
But I'm also very easily distracted.
That is true.
That's true. Mm-hmm. If he gets bored with it, you know, if he's like, oh, a butterfly, then you could have the win. He's out.
Sure.
Because I'm going to try to catch that butterfly.
Yeah. You need two hands to do that.
What would your tweet be, Griffin, for Travis, if you beat him?
Oh, man. It'd probably just be a bunch of racial slurs.
just one after the other.
Just
huh?
one after the other, and a nonsensical chain. I really want to paint with a broad brush and make sure that he really offends every people group on the planet.
Do you know 140 characters worth of racial slurs?
Mm-hmm.
Do you? You think you could do it? Go ahead.
Oh, let's see. There's
don't.
No, I'm going to stop Griffin from doing that. By the way, that's Outlast. It's 99 cents. get it. I'm going to stop Griffin from listing all these racial slurs with a ball gag I bought at extremeassurance.com for exactly this scenario.
Extremeassurance.com. Now, which ball gag are you going to go with, Justin? Because I've been researching this because I might buy a bunch of them for a play I'm doing.
Uh-huh.
And you can get a training ball gag, which is smaller than the normal ball gag, just to get you used to it.
And it's got a little bit of strawberry flavor just to make it a little more. Is that
accurate? Well, and it's breathable, so it's got the holes in it.
Well,
you
that's
know,
against
and,
the
you know,
whole. That's, what are you doing?
Well, it's just for training. It's to get you used to it. And then there's one that, you know, expands and you can pump it up. And the one that's like more of a leather wrap kind of deal.
Sure.
It's a, you know, there's a huge variety of ball gags at extremerestraints.com. Mm-hmm.
There's a huge variety of pretty much every the fuck thing at extremerestraints.com. Masturbation toys, they got them. Penis pumps, they are there.
It's their bag, baby. Yeah.
It's their bag, baby. Oh, yeah.
Fuck. You guys remember that? You remember that good from Austin Powers?
Austin Powers.
Man, that you was a good one.
You want to
very nice.
Great success. Peanut butter jelly time.
Where you at?
Where you at? They got sex age. They got swings.
Sex
they
age?
Got miss sex aids.
They oh, got I don't want that.
Not that kind. Horrible.
They have the fun kind of sex aids.
Okay.
They have basically everything you could ever want, and you
and some stuff you might not even realize you want yet.
And some stuff, you know, let's be honest, terrifies the shit out of you.
Yeah, it'll make whatever weird thing you're into seem like comparatively super super rex.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun environment. Go over there and experiment, and when you do, use the coupon code. What's the coupon code?
It's Middlest.
Middlest. Use the coupon code Middlest to get 20% off.
Middlest.
I think that's part of the fun is going on that roller coaster ride to realize just what your limits are, you know. And you go in and you say, "Oh, scented flavored lube. That sounds cool. You know, a vibrator. That seems pretty fun. The showstopper dildo. Okay, I think I passed it a little bit. Let's backpedal a little bit and get back to territories where we feel
fine. Exactly where I'm comfortable.
Feel fine.
So that
a dildo, a candelabra.
There will be something there that you're comfortable
a
with.
A dildo candelabra. I think
no, thank you.
I think we can hang.
After you check it out, when you find a product you really like, go back to the site and write a review for it. You know, make sure that you say this was awesome. I loved the childo.
Mm-hmm. Unless you can't because you're too busy getting stuff.
Oh, man.
My lady friend's sister got knocked up by a questionable suitor from your hometown. That's Huntington, West Virginia. We're headed to the wedding next month and seek your guidance for things to do in Huntington that don't involve feigning confidence in the unholiest of unions. That's from Andy and Kendall. God, I think the better question is, what can't you do?
Yeah.
We've prepared a musical number for just this situation.
Here we go. You ready? Get drunk.
Griffin is correct. There are quite a few drinking establishments in Huntington.
Just to name a few, you got our favorite Stumblers 2 still stumbling.
Real bar. Google it. There's Peckers. Is Peckers still around?
No, Peckers is now a teen nightclub.
Is it? What?
It is.
Because it was. This is the God's honest truth. It was a Christian themed nightclub, right? Called like Lamb of. Oh fuck! What was
Lamb
it called? David.
Lamb of Babylon. No.
Lamb of Fun.
Fuck. No, there was Club Babylon, City of Sin.
That still exists.
Which was an adjunct of the Pearl Ultra Lounge. Those were both in the same building, but two different
names. And that was the former Renaissance bookstore.
Former Renaissance bookstore, and for a short time, jazz club.
You got the Thirsty Whale,
mm-hmm.
Which you and the Off the Shoulder Gentleman's Club.
Mm-hmm, of course. You could go to Hank's.
Hank's, Mark's, Dave's.
St. Mark's Place.
I've recently been informed by Google that there's a place called Jackhammer's.
Oh, man.
On Route 60, so make sure you get out there.
You go to Driftwood or Stonewall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are
Huntington's
great.
Two gay bars.
Mm-hmm.
Jackhammer's maybe a third
for
one.
Huntington's two gay people.
It's a perfect fit. They each have all the space they can want. No, they're populous.
No.
What else?
They get hyphy. You get Hillbilly Hot Dogs. Just get yourself a Snuffy Dog with Cheese or
Huntington Prime if you're looking for something a little fancier.
A little fancier.
You could go stare in the windows of the closed down theater.
Mm-hmm.
Keith Albee.
Which one you ask? Take your pick.
Take your pick. You can visit the burial place of Soupy Sales.
I don't. Is he dead?
Is he dead? He is dead.
You go stare at the river for hours.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you're on a lot of meth
at
the time.
Yeah, right. You could buy meth.
You can buy meth. Yeah, sure. You can fight the urge to jump in that river and just...
Because you'll die.
Just let it take you.
Yep.
Let it take you down.
I think those are all the things.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Enjoy.
Have a great trip. Make sure to look me up. There are tours by my home.
Ghost tours.
Ghost tours. By my home 3 times daily.
Justin lives near a hospital, so a lot of spectral activity up there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I will take you on a ghost tour of some of Huntington's number one most haunted places. Mm-hmm.
Did I ever
tell you guys that story? I took a ghost tour in Savannah, where you know, you go around the local locations, and really it's just an excuse to stop by local bars. And you drive around in a giant hearse, and you stop at local bars, and you get out, and you buy some, even if they're not haunted, or supposedly haunted, you can still buy alcohol, because Savannah has the open containers.
Fuck, and you get all the spirits.
You get all the spirits you want, right? So you can get a traveler, and travel around. And at one of these breaks, at one of these beer breaks, the driver is talking to my father-in-law, and he said, "Where are you guys from?" And we said, "West Virginia." And he said, there's a prison there in West Virginia that is supposedly haunted, right?" And my father-in-law Tommy says, "Yeah, apparently it's one of the most haunted places in America." And the guy, I shit you not, says, "Well, most haunted is difficult to quantify."
Oh god.
If a place had a ghost in it, it would become the most haunted place in the world.
Yeah.
one very like bold ghost, mm-hmm. that was just like, "I'm here. They stop by anytime."
They will trot that out though. Oh yeah, this is the most haunted. Mm-hmm. This is the most haunted capital.
Per square foot. We got 1,000 ghosts a foot.
Thousand, yeah,
they're all real crammed in like sardines. Can't walk from one end to the other without hitting a ghost.
It's really tricky to. I'm sorry, got a little ghost in my throat. Sorry,
sucked up some ghosts.
I'm gonna have some real bad Rio tomorrow, but that's tomorrow's problem. Eating
ghosts.
We actually
had to build an annex onto the prison just to house all the ghosts. Don't even know where they're coming from.
Do you know what I love about this fucking podcast?
What's that?
I can say things like eating ghosts give you diarrhea. And nobody will even notice or comment on it. That is the 53rd craziest, most awful thing that has been said in this episode.
Right.
It's like no big
ghost
deal.
Rhea.
Sometimes I feel like we've put enough material out into the world. Because there are so many layers of it, of where people will have to sort of absorb, peel apart the onion, mm-hmm. of upsettingness. And they will never really... notice how upsetting each episode is. Yeah. I think we've upset things enough, basically.
Whenever somebody like tweets about like that they're just like slam jamming episodes and they're gonna watch like listen to like 100 episodes in 2 weeks, I have to imagine they gotta be having just the fucking trippiest dreams.
Yeah,
it's just gotta be a weird couple of weeks of a very leaving Las Vegas sort of experience.
Let's do
that's the one with the cage, right?
Yeah, they put the kid in the cage and then they
no Nick Cage
they dip him into the big containers of ghosts.
Yeah,
sorry Griffin, you were gonna say?
I was just saying I had the kid in the cage and the
no I got it.
So how about one more Yahoo?
Yeah, let's do
it. It was sent in by Josh Dykes. Thanks Josh. It's by Yahoo Answers user Anon21, who says, "Would you love your child if they turned into a snake?"
No, I think if a child wait.
Your child.
Yeah, is it permanent or is he like permanent an animal?
See, I think that not well. First off, everybody knows that if an animal stays in his animal for longer than 60 minutes, they're stuck as that animal forever. Anyway.
I'm not saying he would remain the snake, Griffin. I'm saying that he becomes the snake.
In that 1 hour window, would you still love him? That's true. I feel like the uncertainty of not of knowing, you know, is my kid ever going to be a human kid again?
Does he still have the mind of a human, or is he all snake?
Oh my god! Because can you imagine snake?
If he got mind of a human. Yes, of course you still love him. But if he's all snake, he's going to bite you if you try to love him.
Oh my god! But snake it's even body. Worse if he has the mind.
That's
of
what
a
I'm
human.
Saying. Snake body, snake teeth, and venom. but the brain of a human
being. But then we're getting in some fucking Kafka shit, and if he's got the mind of a human, then he's still, like, your boy.
I would
have. He's got the mind of a snake.
He spirals himself around your arm, and it's like, oh, nice, you're trying to give me a hug. That's really grody. Mm-hmm. Can you please get off me? I realize you're my
Can
child.
Can he still speak English, or does he only speak snake? Is he a parcel tongue?
I think it might... What's worse, the people who do that, or people who do treat their snakes like their children?
Oh.
Because there are those people, too, and I don't want to be mistaken for one of them.
If I think I would rather have a snake that was always a snake, because if I had a snake that used to be a child...
Well, yes, Trev, that is not an option that has been afforded to these poor parents. I wish you were a snake all along. That's not it. The gypsy's curse...
No, I'm saying that... I'm saying that given there is a difference... Because if
there's a difference between a snake that's been a snake.
If it's a snake, it might have ghost memories.
The biggest difference, Travis. You're talking about the difference between buying something at the pet store and seeing your progeny transform into a reptile.
You asked what's the difference between what's worse. Those people
There's nothing more. It's not even up for grabs. You have to watch your child become scaly and cylindrical. That's the worst.
Well, what about the people that have monkey babies? Which one's worse? Getting a monkey treating like a baby or having a baby and have it turn into a monkey?
Wait, are you saying people who have monkey babies buy monkeys and then treat them like the babies and put them in diapers and shit?
Yes.
Those people are the pets. They are the worst.
Okay.
I want both of you to imagine you have a son or a daughter.
Okay. All right.
No, let's go with a son.
Okay.
And it turned into a snake. Uh-huh. Let's cut the abstraction.
Okay.
Hey, cut the abstraction, you guys. Your kid just turned into a snake. Step one. What do you do?
How big a snake?
Up to you. Could be a corn snake. Could be a king rattler.
I'm gonna go with a boa constrictor.
Okay. Travis, what would you do first? What's the first thing you do?
I'd probably kill it.
Okay.
It's abomination against man and God.
Okay, on the next episode of True Blood, it's short. It's a short ep.
Well, here's what I need to know.
Okay.
And I bet this is one of those things I just couldn't know beforehand.
Okay.
When I kill it,
yeah.
Does it turn back into a kid?
Oh, that's bad.
Because then I got to deal with the cops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just real quick, I want to back up to True Blood. Would that show be as popular if instead of vampires, they were snakes?
I think it would still be a pretty good show.
Yeah, it's just
that which sustains you.
Because everybody does know when you get bit by a snake, you do turn into one.
Yeah, but right. It's the slowest fucking process. Yeah,
that is the plot of the Bible. Mm-hmm. you may recognize that as the Bible, what the Bible's about. Mm-hmm. Thank you guys so much for listening to our podcast. It's called My Brother, Me, and it's in theory an advice show. Thank you to people who wrote into us in physical space. We got one from I know. We got a postcard from Zena. We got a another postcard from Janelle and Jen. And we got a postcard from we got a letter from Eric Bailey that just says he enjoys our work and is grateful for our talent. I also got another postcard that had a delightful picture of three Mountaineer men that compared us to them that I thought was very funny, but it's not at my fingertips right now. If you want to write us, it is P.O. Box, just do Justin McElroy, P.O. Box 54, Huntington, West Virginia, 25706, and we will check that out. And it makes my day to have something. Send anything you want.
When you go to the post office to get your mail, do the people there look at you like you're like a big deal?
Yeah, they say like, wow, this guy looks kind of famous.
How long do you think before they hand you a big canvas sack that says fan mail? Mm-hmm.
Or how long before you walk in there and they're like, hey, something of yours set off the anthrax alarm?
Your box exploded.
Yeah.
Thank you to people.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news. It looks like your box exploded. Yeah, someone sent something in a big box that had cookies on it, but I don't think it had cookies in it because goddamn box exploded, man.
Poor Larry the Cable Guy. He's had a bad run, man.
Hey, man. That box of cookies really got her done.
Boy, ain't right. What? Amers Man. People who tweeted about the show. Jordan Snyder. Joey Blanton, Cat, Tyler Matheson, Oscar Gomez, Mondrial, D. McRitt, Evan is awesome, Indie Mike. Thank you guys so much for tweeting about the show. Use the MBMBAM hashtag if you do that, and we'll be sure that we read all those pretty obsessively. Also, might I suggest following, and maybe this is gauche of me to suggest following it, but I would suggest following MBMBAM Wisdom at MBMBAM Wisdom. That account retweets quotes from our show, and they make us sound.
They very nicely tweeted at me to say that after I accused them of stealing all of our jokes, like the Carlos, I think I called them the Carlos Mencia of Twitter. They tweeted at me to inform me that that is not what they were doing, which I guess nullifies the crime. I guess we're all okay now.
So thank you to everybody who tweets about the show, and thank you to everyone.
Griffin, are you certain it's not Carlos Mencia?
No. It may be, in fact, Carlos Mencia. The email address for our show is mbmbam@maximumfun.org. While you're typing those letters in, why not copy and paste the maximumfun.org part? Go listen to other shows like Throwing Shades. Podcast, yourself, Jordan, Jesse, Go Bullseye, Judge John Hodgman, and go to the forums.
And Memory Palace.
And Memory Palace, it's there. It's in the family.
I want to thank John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song. It's a departure off the album Putting the Days to Bed. I when I edit the episode, I just sort of drop it in. I don't really listen to it, but I gave a listen to the episode. I think maybe the last one we did. Man, goddamn, that song's so good.
It's
such a high job, energy man. Way to start the show. And just thank you guys for letting us use it. Our show wouldn't be the same with any other song.
And also release another album.
Yeah, what the for fuck, me. Guys?
What the fuck?
And put us in the liner notes.
This final Yahoo was sent in by Emily Wall. Thank you, Emily.
Our picture, just a tasteful
picture. It's by Yahoo Answers user.
Like a full size, like one whole cover. You know, just
put our faces on the record. Mm-hmm. So when it spins around in the record player, you'll see our
change
faces.
Change the name of the band.
Call the record My Brother mm-hmm. and Me.
Change the name of the band to the Long McElroys. This final Yahoo was sent in by Emily Wall. Thank you. It's by Yahoo Answers user Jonathan, who asks, help, my computer is playing Jackie Chan Adventures, and I don't know why!
I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been my brother, me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
Keep your heart, 3 stacks. Keep your heart. Hey, keep your heart, 3 stacks. Keep your heart. Man, these girls are smart. 3 stacks, these girls are smart. Play your part.